Let the way of the heart, let the way of the heart, let the way of your heart shine through. Let the way of the heart, let the way of the heart, let the way of your heart shine through. Love upon love upon love, all hearts beating as one. Light upon light upon light, let the way of the heart, let the way of the heart, let the way of your heart shine through. Let the way of the heart, let the way of your heart, let the way of the heart shine.
Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. We present a new program for you each week. This week the program is in English. There will be a discourse by Osho and music from Osho lovers from different parts of the world. This hour is just for you to relax and enjoy. Sit back, lay down, whatever you feel like, and allow the beautiful music and the discourse by Osho to give yourself 1 hour of meditation.
was loved by you. I never knew I was blessed, but now I do. I never knew what I was missing.
The discourse by Osho today is from the series A Sudden Clash of Thunder, number 5. Osho is talking about the difference between self-consciousness and consciousness.
Consciousness is health. Self-consciousness is disease. Something has gone wrong. Some tie has arisen, some complex. The river of consciousness is not flowing naturally. Something foreign has entered into the river of consciousness. Something alien. Something that cannot be absorbed by the river. Something that cannot become part of the river. Something that resists becoming part of the river. Self-consciousness is morbidity. Self-consciousness is a frozen state, blocked. It is like a dirty pool going nowhere, just drying, evaporating and dying. Of course it stinks. So the first thing to be understood is the difference between self-consciousness and consciousness. Consciousness has no idea of I, of ego. It has no idea of one's separation from existence. It does not know any barriers. It knows no boundaries. It is one with existence. It is in a deep at-one-ment. There is no conflict between the individual and the whole. One is simply flowing into the whole, and the whole is flowing into one. It is like breathing. You breathe in, you breathe out. When you breathe in, the whole enters you. When you breathe out, you enter the whole. It is a constant flow, constant sharing. The whole goes on giving to you and you go on giving to the whole. The balance is never lost. But in a self-conscious man, something has gone wrong. He takes in but he never gives out. He goes on accumulating. And he has become incapable of sharing. He goes on making boundaries around himself so nobody can trespass. He goes on putting boards around his being, no trespassing allowed. By and by he becomes a grave, a dead being, because life is in sharing. A self is a dead thing, alive only for the name's sake. Consciousness is infinite life, life abundant. It knows no boundaries. But ordinarily, everybody is self-conscious. To be self-conscious is to be unconscious. This paradox has to be understood. To be self-conscious is to be unconscious. And to be unself-conscious or to be self-unconscious is to become conscious. And when there is no self, when this small tiny self disappears, you attain to the real self with a capital S. Call it the Supreme Self, the Self of all. So it is both no self in the sense that it is not only yours, and it is the ultimate self also, because it is the self of all. You lose your tiny center and you attain to the center of existence itself. Suddenly you become infinite. Suddenly you are no more bounded. You have no cage around your being. And the infinite power starts flowing through you. You become a vehicle, clear, with no obstructions. You become a flute, and Krishna can sing through you. You become just a passage, empty, nothing of your own. This is what I call surrender. Self-consciousness is a non-surrendering attitude. It is the attitude of conflict, fight, struggle. If you are fighting with existence, you will be self-conscious, and of course, you will be defeated again and again and again. Each step is going to be a step in more and more defeat. Your frustration is certain. You are doomed from the very beginning. Because you cannot hold this self against the universe. It is impossible. You cannot exist separately. You cannot be a monk. This word monk is good. You must be aware of similar words like manupali. That comes from the same root. Or monastery. That comes from the same root. Or monolog. That comes from the same root. A monk is one who is trying to be oneself. Who is trying to define his boundaries. And who is trying to exist separate from this total existence. His whole effort is egoistic. It is bound to fail. No monk can ever succeed. You can succeed only with God, never against Him. You can succeed only with the whole, never against Him. So if you are frustrated in deep misery, remember, you are creating that misery, and you are creating by a subtle trick. You are fighting against the whole. It happened. It must have been a rainy season like this, and the village river was over flooded. And people came running to Mullah Nasruddin and said, "Your wife has fallen in the flooded river. Run fast, save her." Nasruddin ran. He jumped into the river and started swimming upstream. The people who had gathered to see they shouted, "What are you doing, Nasruddin? Your wife cannot go upstream. The stream has taken it downwards." Nasruddin said, "What you are talking about? I know my wife. She can only go upstream." The ego is always an effort to go upstream. People don't like to do easy things. Before they want to do them, they want to make them hard, difficult. People enjoy doing hard things. Why? Because when you face a hard thing, your ego becomes subtle, sharp. There is a challenge. You watch your own life, many things you are doing only because of the ego. You want to make a big house. You may be perfectly comfortable in your house as it is, but you want to make a big palace. That big palace is not for you. That big palace is for the ego. You may be perfectly comfortable as you are, but you go on accumulating money. That money is not for you. That money is for the ego. How can you rest till you have become the richest man in the world? But what you are going to do by becoming the richest man in the world? You will become more and more miserable. Because misery comes out of conflict. Misery is an indication that you are in conflict. So don't throw your responsibility on something else. People are very rationalizing. If you are miserable, they will say, what we can do? The past life's karmas are making us miserable. All rubbish. Past life karmas must have made you miserable, but in past lives. Why this would wait up to now? There is no point in waiting. Your present karmas are making you miserable. Throwing them on past lives makes it easy. What you can do? You have to be the way you are. Now nothing can be done. The past cannot be undone. You cannot erase it just by waving your hand. There is no magic trick that can help you to erase your past. It has happened and it has happened forever. Now it is going to remain absolute. There is no possibility of changing it. That relieves you of the burden. And you think, so okay, I have to be miserable because of the past karmas. You can throw the responsibility on the devil, as Christians go on doing. Hindus go on throwing the responsibility on past karmas. Christians go on throwing the responsibility on the devil. He must be creating traps for you. It is not you. It is the devil who goes on trapping you into miseries and who goes on pulling you down towards hell. Who is bothered with you? Why this devil will be bothered with you? Then there are Marxists, communists, socialists. They say it is the socialist structure, the economic system that makes people miserable. Then there are Freudians, psychoanalysts. They say it is the child and mother relationship. But it is always something else. It is never you. It is never you in the present. And I would like to tell you, it is you. If you are miserable, only you and only you are responsible. Neither past, nor the socialist structure, nor the economic system, nothing is going to help. If you remain you, In any sort of a society, you will remain miserable. In any economic system, you will remain miserable. In any world, you will remain miserable if you remain you. And the first basic change happens when you start dropping this conflict with existence. That is the only meaning of all the great religions. When they emphasize drop the ego, they are saying drop the conflict. I would like you to remember it more, because drop the ego seems too metaphysical. Ego? Where is the ego? What is the ego? The world seems to be known, you seem to be well acquainted, but seems to be very vague, cannot be grasped. I would like it to make more practical. Drop the conflict, because ego is a byproduct of your conflicting attitude. People talk of conquering nature. People talk of conquering this and that. How can you conquer nature? You are part of it. How the part can conquer the whole? See the foolishness of it, the stupidity. You can be with the whole in harmony, or you can be in conflict with the whole in disharmony. Disharmony results in misery, harmony results in bliss. Harmony naturally results in a deep silence, joy, delight. Conflict results in anxiety, anguish, stress, tension. The ego is nothing but all the tensions that you have created around yourself. And in the first place, there is no need to create. But why man goes on creating it? There must be some reason why everybody goes on creating the self. The real self is unknown. That's why. And it is very difficult to live without a self. So we create a pseudo-self, a substitute self. The real self is unknown. In fact, the real self never becomes absolutely known. It remains mysterious. It remains ineffable, indefinable. The real self is so vast that you cannot define it. And the real self is so mysterious that you cannot penetrate it to the very core. The real self is the self of the whole. It is not possible for human intellect to penetrate, to ponder, to contemplate about it. To know the real self is arduous. One has to travel long to arrive home. One has to knock on many doors before one comes to the right door. The easy trick is you can create a false self. To grow real roses is difficult. You can purchase plastic roses. They will not deceive you, but they can deceive the neighbors. That is the point of the self, the ego. It cannot deceive you. You know well that you don't know yourself who you are. But at least it can deceive the neighbors. In the outside world, at least you have a certain label who you are. Have you ever thought about it? If somebody asks, who are you? What do you answer? You say your name. Name is not yours because you came in the world without a name. You came nameless. It is not your property. It has been given to you. And A, B, C, D, any name would have been useful. It is arbitrary. It is not essential in any way. If you are called Ram, good. If you called Hari, good. It makes no difference. Any name would have been as applicable to you as any other. It is just a label. A name is needed to call you. But it has nothing to do with your being. Are you say, I am a doctor? Are you say, I am an engineer? Are a businessman? Are a painter? Are this and that? But nothing says anything about you. When you say, I am a doctor, you say something about your profession, not about you. You say, how I earn my living. You don't say anything about life, you say something about your living. You may be earning your living as an engineer, or as a doctor, or as a businessman. It is irrelevant. It does not say anything about you. These are just utilitarian tricks. And man becomes a self. This self is a pseudo-self, a created, manufactured self, homemade. And your own real self remains deep down, hidden in mist and mystery. Your self cannot be created by you. It cannot be man-made. Yourself you have brought with you. It is you. How can you create it? To create it, you will have to be there in the first place. That is the meaning. When Christians, Mohammedans, Hindus say that man is a creature, that means man has not created himself, that's all. The creator is somewhere hidden into the unknown. We have come out of some mysterious life source. Yourself is not yours. This false self is not yours because you have created it, and your real self is not yours because it is still in God. You are still rooted in God. This false self that we go on carrying in our life like flags is always in danger of being damaged. It is very fragile. It is very weak. It has to be. It is man-made. How man can make something deathless? He himself has to pass through many deaths. So whatsoever he produces is always mortal. Hence the fear, continuous fear, that I may be lost. Myself may be destroyed. A continuous fear goes on trembling into your being. You can never be certain about your this false self. You know it is false. You may avoid the fact, but you know it is false. It is gathered together, manufactured. It is mechanical. It is not organic. Have you watched the difference between an organic unity and a mechanical unity? You make a car engine. You can purchase parts from the market and you can fix those parts. And the engine starts functioning like a unity. Or you can purchase parts of a radio from the market and you can fix them. And the radio starts functioning like a unity. somehow it comes to have a self. No part in itself can function as a radio. All parts together start functioning like a radio, but still the unity is mechanical, forced from the outside. Then you throw seeds into the ground, and then those seeds die in the soil, and a plant arises. This unity is organic. It is not forced from outside. It was in the seed itself. The seed goes on spreading, goes on gathering thousand and one things from the earth, from the air, from the sun, from the sky. But the unity is coming from within. The center comes first and then the circumference. In a mechanical unity, the circumference comes first and then the center. Man is an organic unity. You were a seed one day, like any tree, in the soil of your mother's womb. You started gathering your circumference. Center came first. Center preceded circumference. And now you have forgotten the center completely. And you live on the circumference and you think this is your whole life. This circumference and continuously living on it creates a sort of self, a pseudo-self, which gives you a feeling that yes, you are somebody. But it is always trembling because it has no organic unity in it. Hence the fear of death. If you know your real self, you will never be afraid of death. There is no question. Because the organic unity never dies. Organic unity is immortal. Only mechanical unities are put together and die. That which is put together one day will fall apart. Mechanical unity has a beginning and an end. The organic unity has no beginning and no end. It is an eternal process. Do you know your center? If you don't know, then you will be continuously afraid. Hence, self-consciousness is always afraid, always trembling. And you always need support from others. Somebody to appreciate you. Somebody to clap. Somebody to say how beautiful you are or how intelligent. You need somebody to say these things to you, like suggestions, so that you can believe, yes, you are intelligent, you are beautiful, you are strong. But see the point, you depend on others. We go on searching in the outside world some support for our ego, somebody to give a little support, to become a prop. Otherwise there is always danger that our ego will collapse. So we have to support from this side and from that, and continuous worry arises. Listen carefully. Whenever you try to perform something, you are searching food for the ego. Whenever you are natural and let things happen, they are perfect. And then there is no problem. When you are natural and let things happen, God is at the back with you. When you are afraid, trembling, trying to prove something, you have lost God. In your fear, you have forgotten Him. You are looking more at the people and you have forgotten your source. Self-consciousness becomes a weakness. A person who is unself-conscious is strong. But his strength has nothing to do with himself. It comes from the beyond.
Today is the day of friendship. For this, we have a special song for you by Bindu called Friendship. If you want to listen to a discourse by Osho about friendship, you can go to oshoworld.com and download a discourse from the series The Empty Boat, number 7.
Stories created so children can't grow. Friendship is a natural thing when you're living. Sharing your laughter, receiving and giving. Friendship makes your life into a sweet celebration. And love is the natural flow of creation. To share, and why do we have to compete with each other? Each one is unique, and you cannot compare. Friendship is a natural thing when you're living. Sharing your laughter, receiving and giving. makes your life into a sweet celebration. And love is the natural flow of creation. Cling to each other when there's a billion friends in the world. And why do we have to be shameful and hiding beautiful boys and beautiful girls? That we're beautiful boys and beautiful girls.
This was Osho Radio for today. The music was by Maniko, Gitesh and Miten before the discourse. After the discourse, you listened to some instrumental music from the world of Osho, a song by Bindu called Friendship, and we're gonna finish with Deuter. I hope you all liked the program, and we'll listen again to Osho Radio next week. Then there'll be a Hindi program by Ma Chaitanya Ambika. Bye bye everybody. Have a good week. Take care and namaste.